Shall we welcome Alex as he comes to bring God's word to us?
Yeah, Alex.
Thank you. It's such a joy and a privilege to be part of Word of Grace Church. There's lots said, and it's only because of Jesus in our heart. Because that's not us, really, if you see in the flesh. We cannot do anything. It's only because of Jesus in our heart that we can serve. And it's a joy because of Him. Well, my wife Donity and I, we love Pastor Colin a lot. Nawaz and Colin have their leadership, their mentoring, their insight, their wisdom. And I know that not only us, they share with so many of y'all and have made such an impact in our own lives, really. You know, over the time period that we were here, this church has been such a blessing to us. And yes, I know y'all are going to miss us, but we are going to miss y'all more. You know, I can say more and more. And I thank God for each one of us, you know, that it was more than a family. I know that going is coming very soon. It's going to be really next week. Somewhere next week we're going to go. So I thank God that we can move together hand in hand, not only here, but even when we are far away, because y'all have touched our lives. So this morning, as I bring the word, let us invite the Holy Spirit. Let's welcome the Holy Spirit, because we can't move without the Holy Spirit. So just let's invite the Holy Spirit to touch us and that His word goes forth so that it touches each one of us. Father God, we want to thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning and thank you for such a wonderful day, another day that you have blessed us. We pray this morning and we invite you. Come, Holy Spirit, touch each one of us. Come and you are going to give this word, Lord. It's not going to be of my flesh, but it's going to be you. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that you have left us. Bless each one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I remember when I was working in Nigeria, there was a time when I was walking with this friend of mine on the street. Actually, it's outside the heli base because we have to take the chopper and it was delayed. So we were walking out to go to a nearby restaurant. So I was walking with this local guy. And Nigeria, some of the places are not pretty good, you know, the roads. And so as I was walking, talking to him, suddenly I seen him. He just stamped over a wet cow dung. And he slipped with both his legs up and his bottom went straight on the dung. And then there were some people who came and helped him and I could help him out. And he just asked me, he says, "What is this?" Well, now while bringing this word, I thought of that incident. I'm thinking that this is what our life is about. It's that, you know, we are minding our own selves. We are going along in our life. We think that, you know, we got hold of our situations. We got hold of everything. And suddenly something comes up. You know, you find yourself in a mess. And you say, and you ask yourself, "What is this?" And it's not expected, you know. I was talking to this guy and suddenly he fell in this mess. We had to clean him afterwards. You know, we had to take him to the washroom and clean up. But this is exactly what happens to us, you know. That we think we are all in control. We think that we got everything in our hands. But suddenly something comes up. It could be a misunderstanding in a family where bitterness begins to grow. And there's unforgiveness in a family setup. And there's arguing back and forth. You see, in many families, you know, we are not perfect, but there's arguing back and forth. And it gets worse. Eventually, it builds to a place where you ask yourself, "How did we get here?" I mean, we are hardly talking to each other anymore. We don't acknowledge each other anymore. And we don't call up each other on birthdays. And then we ask ourselves, how did we get here? So maybe right now, y'all are in the center of this. I don't know who, but you know, if you ask yourselves, maybe y'all are in this situation right now. Something that started simple, you know, like in an addiction. It started very simple. At first, you know, in an addiction, it was fun. It was no problem. And eventually it came to a point that you don't want to admit that you're in an addiction. But now you are gone so deep that you have a problem. And then you kind of wake up one morning and you say, what's this? How did I get here? How did I get in this miserable mess? Maybe it's an issue in the finances. You know, you have taken loans for your house, or you have taken loans for so many things, and now you're not able to pay because there's a challenge of paying back the loan. And then you wonder, I took this loan and I don't know how to repay this. Maybe you're in this situation right now. But I want to encourage you this today. I believe there are some of the most encouraging stuff in the Bible about Jesus for the cyclone in our life. And I want you to go back, turn your book to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, which, you know, it makes it very easily. You can open it. It's the last book in the Bible. Go to the end, Revelation 1:1. Revelation, when you hear the word revelation, some of you may be scared and say, oh, it's revelation, you know. Like it's the end of the world. You know, some of you may think revelation is like the end of the world, you know. And but actually this book is meant to encourage us. It's a book. It was written to the group of Christians at that time who were struggling and going through hard times. You know, Paul was killed for his faith. Peter was killed, persecuted and killed for the faith in Jesus Christ. So many early church leaders had been killed for their faith. And Paul, who wrote the books of the New Testament, most of the books of the New Testament Paul wrote, he had been killed. John, Jesus' beloved disciple, who actually wrote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he was stranded in the island of Patmos. So Christians at that time were in really hard season. And they are wondering, is there a God? They are thinking, is there someone to help us? You know, we all go through that phase. Is there a God? Is there something that can come out of this, whatever situation we are in? Everything is going out of control. We are not even quite sure that are we going to make it? And this early church was going through the same struggle. But this is where the book of Revelation and the promises that Jesus comes along. And we ask this question, Jesus, are you still in charge? Right now, we might be going through the same situation. But I can assure you this, that Jesus cares enough not only to respond to your fears, but he shows up personally through a revelation. And we see this in Revelation 1:1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John. So the first thing we see in this book of Revelation, more than being some sort of a scary book, it's about the future. It is the co-revelation of Jesus Christ. And revelation, if you know, means unveiling. It's about unveiling of Jesus. And here, why this is so cool, if you look through the Gospels, the biographies of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the New Testament, tells the story of Jesus' life. You get one picture of who Jesus is. If we have all read, we get one picture of who Jesus is. You get Jesus in his humility. Jesus coming as a servant. Jesus, the number one emotion that he shows throughout the New Testament. And the gospel is compassion. So we see this kind, compassionate, loving Jesus. And that is who Jesus is actually. But here in Revelation, we see another side of Jesus. And we also see, we can understand that Jesus in his glory is seen in the book of Revelation. You get a bigger picture of Jesus. Yes, he's a humble servant. Yes, he's humble. His humility is to the T. But in Revelation, you see him as a conquering warrior. You see these things coming together. Here's why I think it's so encouraging. Sometimes we just need to step back, you know, and think to ourselves and look at the perception of who Jesus is in the book of Revelation and say, Lord, I'm not going to control my life. I'm not going to take charge of my life, because we so easily slip in that groove of saying, yes, we can do this. We can handle this. But we need to step back and say, Jesus, you are in control. We need to take it by faith. So the first thing we realize that if you sum the whole book of Revelation down to one phrase, this is the meaning of Revelation. Is that Jesus wins. Amen. That Jesus wins, and he wins all the time. There's no failure. You know, and through faith we can share in his victory. So this book that was written to the Christians at that time who were struggling and hurting needed encouragement. And today we may be in the same boat. We may be in the same situation that we need encouragement. We need to remember that Jesus wins. So the first thing we see is recognize the real Jesus. It's a challenge nowadays to really recognize Jesus in this turmoil of today, if you see around. We need to recognize where Jesus stands during this situation. During this situation in our life, we need to see who the real Jesus is. If you look at TV and news, there's total chaos. If you look at our families, there's total chaos. And if Jesus is not at the center of our lives, we are going to be in chaos. Because, you know, you can go this far. But if you don't keep Jesus at the center of your life, you are not going to succeed. That's you know, you may succeed for a little while. But afterwards, you will see yourself going down because you don't have the strength. The power comes from him. So Revelation gives us a bigger picture. So we need to take consideration in our heart and mind that what it means to follow Jesus. So as we read in Revelation 1:4, grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, who is still to come, from the sevenfold spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. He is faithful to witness to these things. The first to rise from the dead. It's really first in preeminence. The preeminent one to rise from the dead. And the ruler of all the kings of the world. So you know, of all the titles that Jesus has in the Bible, of all the names that we read about Jesus in the Bible, that this is the coolest to me. Like, he's the ruler of the kings of the world. Maybe in some translation it is, he's the ruler of the kings of the earth. And here's why it's This is so significant. In that culture at that time, they had a different view about kings. We all know that. But today, if we talk about a king and think a king is somebody who has power, they have authority. Politically, they can sort of lean in a little bit and have influence. But we don't really think of kings as dominating every area of society, every sector of society. But in the ancient world, they did. The kings controlled all the financial regulation. The kings controlled all the taxes. The king controlled all the media, all the press, the ancient world, all the arts. Everything was controlled by the king. And that's why it's significant. When Jesus comes along, he is introduced in Revelation as not just king, but the ruler of the kings of the world, of the earth. So Jesus is saying, I am large and in charge. So during that time when Christians were struggling, were shaken and tired, they were worn out and wondering, in this middle of this chaos, God, where are you? Revelation opens with declaration. Jesus is saying, I've got it, I'm here. And I'm still working, I'm moving. I'm the ruler of the kings of the world. Peter had been killed for his faith. And Paul had died for his faith. And even John is exiled in the island of Patmos. When he writes this book of Revelation, Jesus is saying, I am large and in charge. So we need to remember that when we are in the darkest hour, when we are struggling, when we can't go beyond, you know, there are times when even I'm cornered and I think, how can I go from here? We need to remember that God is still in charge and he is large. You know, so we need to remember that. Somebody had wrote these lines, which I'm going to read. And I think it's very powerful. He is my Lord and rules my life. I serve him because his bond is love. His burden is light. His goal for me is abundant life. He will never leave me, never forsake me, never mislead me, never forget me. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I'm weak, he's strong. When I'm lost, he's the way. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I'm hurt, he heals me. When I'm broken, he mends me. When I'm blind, he leads me. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I face trial, he is with me. He confronts me in every situation in my life. When I face death, he carries me home. He's everything for somebody, everywhere, every time, in every way. He is God, he is faithful. He always is. He always will, unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. So Jesus is large in charge. So your health may be in a mess. You can, you know, immediately think that, what am I going to do? But Jesus, the ruler of the kings of the world. Remember, he says, come follow me. And we need to follow with our heart. We need to follow with everything that we do. We need to remember that who's in charge. You know, we may look at our situations. You know, you may think that this is never going to improve. In your family, you may feel it's not working right now. But you look beyond the immediate. No matter how big your problems are, no matter how big your situations are, Jesus is bigger than that because he is God. So take hope in him and look to him and focus on him and realize that ultimately Jesus wins and we can share in his victory in our lives today by faith. So recognize the real Jesus. We come to the second principle. We can share in Jesus' victory. There was a time on the rig You know, I worked as a driller for 8 years, and being a driller, we are, you know, contained to a small area. And that area, there are times like when there's heavy rains. So we have a shed on top, which is made of glass. It's a openable one, you know. You can pull with the pulley. So there was this glass, and there was a time, you know, there are the tool pushers who come and relieve me for lunch. So I went for lunch, and he came and he relieved me. One of the workers, he had job to, because this about 100 feet tower is there above that. You know, it's a block that runs up and down because 90 feet is each pipe. So we need to drill that 90 feet to go to the next one. So I went there when I went for lunch and I came back. This guy who was working on top accidentally dropped a bolt and he shattered the glass. So he was so panicked and he was so afraid that when I came, because it's my shed, right? And I need to work there. So they took care of it. And so when he came to me, he was like very nervous. And I'm thinking in my mind, you'll have to pay for this. You'll have to, you know, your salary will be cut off. And I'm thinking, processing this in my mind. And I'm saying that what is done now, you know, you might even lose your job. I can tell that, you know, he did such a thing. But then he says, I'm very sorry. I really didn't accidentally did it. You know, that bolt just fell from my hand. Because normally when we work offshore, we need to tie everything that we take to the crown. And there's a book, log book, of what you take on top. So we need to log whatever you take and your name is written. So this guy, apparently he went in a hurry and he didn't write anything. He didn't tie anything. So this is what accidentally happened. And he was so nice because he's going to lose his job. So there is a price that has to be paid. So I told him, it's okay. I will not fire you from your job. But we need to fix it. So something has to be done, right? Things that are broken has to be put in place in order. The Bible says that Jesus was the one who gave his life in sacrifice so that things could be put right. Sometimes we are in the middle of problems in our lives and everything feels so wrong. We have got to remember that Jesus is the one who made it right. And he's making it right now. We have got to hang on to that faith in Jesus. So you see, in Revelation 1, it comes again in verse 5. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. God set the price. What's that price was going to be for the salvation and for the forgiveness of our lives. Our responsibility right now is to receive his grace and his mercy. So some of you must be thinking, to be honest, here today, that you believe that God forgives. We all believe that God forgives. God loves people. God forgives people in the church. Maybe you may be thinking, God forgives the one in this row. Some of you believe that, yes, God forgives, but has he forgiven me personally? Because, you know, the starting of my Christian life, it took me a long time to understand that God has forgiven me. I was in this work mentality, doing this to please him, doing that to please him. And, you know, God really is in the business of forgiving. He forgives. If you put your trust in him, he forgives. So we need to get out of this mentality that, you know, God forgives everybody, but he doesn't forgive me. No, he forgives us. We hurt people many times, you know, but we need to remember that God has forgiven us so we can forgive. And here right now, you see the great news. God set a price. God determined what the price was. And God paid the price for you. So what the Bible is declaring again and again is Jesus was more than enough to pay for your sins and for my sins. So here we realize we share in his victory. So we go back to this verse of he has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. This is so good, that phrase, kingdom of priests. It comes from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. That is the first time we see the Israelites were being delivered from slavery and captivity. They are just a bunch of slaves. And for 400 years, they lived in this generation slavery. They didn't really have an identity. They didn't understand who they were and how they were supposed to live in this new life that God was calling them. He calls them out and he declares this amazing statement. A priest at that time was high. And they go, God is calling us priest, a kingdom of priest. So we are a kingdom of priest. So what that reminds us, that we can share in his victory. Not only in his forgiveness and his salvation that he offers us, but in a new identity that we can live. We can live totally new. You are not the sum total of who everybody else says that you are. You know, you might be in your young days, teachers must have said you are no good for nothing. Or some of us who had abusive parents, they must have told us we are not good for anything. But you are not the sum total of who anybody says that you are. Because you are more than a conqueror in Christ. And Jesus says that we are loved. You are a kingdom of... So we share. So you are loved. You are empowered. You are equipped to serve him, to follow him. You are not only who they said you were. You are who God says you are. You're not the sum total of who everybody else says what you are. Remember that you are the kingdom of priests. So you share in Jesus' victory. You see, in Revelation 2:17, Jesus writes to the church of Pergamum. He says, to each of you I will give you a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. And you read this and think, I don't know what all this about. Here, what is so cool about this thing. In Pergamum, they would have understood what a white stone represents. Because a white stone represents somebody who has won a victory. Athletes in that day, they wouldn't just get a gold medal or a silver medal. They would get a white stone or a pebble. It would have a mark on it. And it signified them as a winner, as a victor. They would carry that stone, you know, be proud, and they would carry that stone everywhere they went. So today, you may be thinking, are we going to get that white stone? Jesus is saying, you stay with me, you follow me, you look to me. When it's all said and done, and you're in heaven, you're not only going to get a new name that not only you and God will know, but you will get a white stone, the white stone of victory. So we don't have to wait to receive that white stone in our lives. We can share in Jesus' victory today. You're not a loser in Christ. You're a winner in Christ. You're not a failure in Christ. You are somebody who overcomes in Christ. You may be in a major problem, but friends, you're a victor. Because Jesus has a hold on you. He's not letting you go. You have the white stone of victory, and you know in the end that Jesus wins. And I'm sharing in his victory. So share in that victory today, even when it's not good. That leads to the third principle. Look forward to Jesus' return. That's the last principle. You know, back in 2002, I got promoted to a driller. And the company that I was working, It was in Saudi. So I was the only Indian driller there. The other three drillers, there were two Australians and one American. And it was for 9 years I worked as a driller. They were paying me half of what they pay those guys because I had an Indian passport. Okay? But I endured. I endured. And there were times when I used to feel I'm doing the same job what the other guy is doing. In fact, better than him. And I'm being paid half. But I endured and I believed that God is going to work something good out of this. And 9 years I worked, continued. Then in 2005, I got an email from a company, a Norwegian company, and they were looking for drillers. And they were paying everybody the same salary. That is about twice what I was getting paid. And I took that bold step and I said, I'm going to join that company. And I joined that company. 19 years I worked with this American company, Ensco. You know, it was an American company. I worked for 19 years. They only promised me promotions. They only promised me better salary. They should not give me the incentive that the expats used to get. But I endured. When I joined this Norwegian company, I joined them. I worked with them for 2 years, paid such a big amount. And the 6 years after that, okay, about 8 years after that, I got three promotions. And those promotions were big. From driller, I went to tool pusher. From tool pusher, OIM of the rig. And then from OIM to rig manager. So what I'm saying here is that we all go through this rough times. But we need to endure. You know, it's this temporary pain that we will go through. But if we keep our focus on Him, He will take us not only from here, He will take us to another level. But we need to endure. And I can give you this living example. Those 19 years, what I didn't make, I made in 6 years, I made about 6 times more than what I had done in 19 years. And not only that, I used to work under Americans, you know, because the American company. But there came a time when the Americans were working under me. So God really turned the table. But it didn't make me proud, you know. But the thing is, I seen God's hand because I endured till the end. You know, I remember that now I've taken a break. 26 years is a long time to be offshore. And it's you know, it had started taking a toll in my health. But I also wanted to spend time with my family. So I took this break. So you know what? Right now, some of you are managing problems. Some are managing situations. Some of you are carrying heavy weights. So the Bible challenges us to keep the past, the pain of what we are going through, now to realize that we can hang on to that hope in Christ. And we can wait for His return. Because that's the hope today, that He's going to be returning. So look forward to Jesus' return. So in Revelation 1:7, we read what is so powerful word. Look beyond the pain. Look beyond the weight. Look beyond the mess. Look beyond the junk. He comes with the clouds of heaven and everyone will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all the nations of the world will mourn for Him. Yes, amen. So Revelation directs us our attention to say, look to Christ and His second coming. Live with a fervent sense of hope that Jesus will return and can return. When He does, He will make things right in our world. Justice will ultimately rule. The Bible says, like the river, which is a beautiful picture, especially when you are a people that are oppressed, like the early believers, where they didn't have any hope, they didn't have justice, and they didn't see anything. And finally, the wrong will be made right. And we will live with God forever. So we look forward to that hope in our lives. Jesus wins. And we share in His victory. When He first came, He came in the form of a human being. That's a Jesus as a baby in the manger in Bethlehem. And when He comes again, He'll be a conquering king. When He first came, He was in meekness. But when He comes again, everyone will see Him. When he first came, he was the savior of our sins. But when he comes again, he returns as the kings of the Lord and lords of the Lord. At his first coming, he was humble. But at his second coming, he's a conquering warrior. At his first coming, he rode into Jerusalem on a simple donkey. At his return, he is coming on a white horse to bring judgment, justice, peace to the world. And all things will be right. Jesus wins, and we share in his victory. So all that matters today is your relationship with God. And second, your relationship with people. At the end of the day, it's about loving God and also loving people. You know, how big is your retirement account at your deathbed will not matter. And how passionately you pursued your career and your hobby will not matter. It just boils down to this: loving God and loving others. In this life, we keep trying to make it more complex than it really is. Let's slow down, breathe deep. Let's take time, spend time in His presence. Look at the people in your life. You know, God has placed them in your life. Start valuing people. You know, it's only when you start loving God that He has told us, He's commanded us to do, it'll be easy for us to love people around. You can start it in your family. So, you know, this life that we have, we need to start being forgiving. We need to start understanding each other. Jesus wins. Love God and love others. So I leave you all with this. Love God and love others. Let's pray. God, we are grateful for your love for us. We are thankful for just the way you move and the way you work in our lives. I do just pray that if you'll comfort today those who are hurting, I pray for those walking through a really messy time in their lives, and they'll just be lifted up by your power and your love and your kindness for them. And for those of us who are in the season in our life where we really need hope, just make it so evident to us today. I pray for your blessings and your protection. We trust you and we thank you that you are the ruler of the kings of the world. We look to you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Alex. Wasn't that wonderful? Yeah, let's thank you so much, Alex. Yeah. We're going to just go on for another 5 minutes. Will the band quickly come? Yeah. And just if we can just think about the words of the message. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And after this, we just want to give anybody who needs prayer an opportunity to come forward, and we want to pray for you, because there is power when we pray in Jesus' name. All right? So, all right, can we just stand together? Whatever situation you're going through, remember, if you are in Christ, Jesus has won the victory. Yeah? And we can bring those things to Jesus. We can share in His victory. And we will love God, love one another. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing the song, He's Stronger. And if you want prayer this morning for anything in your life, or you want to say, Lord, I want to commit my life to you once again. And prayer for anything, maybe health, finances, difficult situation, relationship, okay? Just come forward. The ministry team is there. We'd love to pray for you, because there is power in prayer. Okay? Great.
You are strong. Stronger than cause of time.
cast all your anxiety upon him because he cares for you. Amen. So if you'd like prayer, come forward. Ministry team, come. We'll just pray for people.